We've been spending a few weeks in 1 Corinthians, especially in chapter 13, and I don't know why, but why do we seem to be coming back to this chapter? Is the Lord telling us something, or are we missing something that he wants us to hear? I'm going to read it again, and then I'll start. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of the angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, you can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greater of these is love. I don't know why I've been led to there for this week, but, you know, when I think of it, the Christian life is to be a life of victory in all things that pertain to godliness, even though they are many obstacles and trials that come our way, and there are many things which try to prevent us from walking in the way God wants us to, we can see and experience the victory that God has planned out for each and every one of us. So each and every one of us, our lives are planned out, you know, and when we think of it, right from the start, years ago, I would never have thought my life would have been planned out the way it has. But God moves, should we say, in mysterious ways. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. John 10:10, and Hayden spoke about this morning. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Our God tonight is telling us that we can have a more abundant life if we keep on walking with him. So this is where faith comes in. We must walk by faith to experience the fullness of God's victory in all the areas of our lives today. There's so much that's coming against each and every one of us. You know, it's not the same for us all, but this is where we need to be. We need to have the victory in all the areas in our lives. 1 John 5 verse 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, which is our faith. So through this faith that we look at, we have access to a spiritual inheritance, which God wants us to walk in for our marriages, our families, our jobs, and everything else that pertains to our lives. You know, even being retired, God has work for us to do. You know, we mightn't feel like it. We mightn't, you know, think he's watching us. But in all our lives, you know, we were just thinking, well, I was thinking the other day about Brother John, and how frail he's getting. But John has still got a witness. John has still got a witness. Why? Because he's still got faith. And that's the difference. That's a difference. And through faith, we can have rest in our souls during trials and tribulations that come before us. And through faith, we have the power to overcome sin. And it's then when we can run the race with endurance. I was thinking of you in there. How many times you run that?
34.
Right, okay. Yeah, and I was thinking of that rugby player, Rob Burrows, and that man who pushed him round the marathon today, and he, in the end, he carried him over the line. What brotherly love that he must have for him. Through faith, we are able to obtain the gifts from God and pursue the ministry he has ordained in our lives. Like I say, God is not finished with us yet. He has something for each and every one of us to do. It may be we might walk out of here tonight and somebody might need an answer or might need some help. Through faith, we realise God's provision for our lives and our families. Through faith, we are able to receive the healing and health that is necessary for our bodies today. Through faith, we receive answer to our prayers today. No wonder it says in Hebrews that without faith we cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that's quite a bit about faith, isn't it? But how does faith work? Tonight I want us to talk about the most important principles in regards to our faith today. Because without this principle or quality working in our lives, we will never know what it is to have our faith working effectively within us. The quality is found in the book of Galatians, and it's called love. Because faith works or operate, sorry, faith, because faith works and operates by love. You can't have one without the other. Galatians 5 verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So if we did not love the Lord, how can we have faith in him? We cannot come in here and say we love God if we don't have faith. Why would we come? So what is the relationship between faith and love? For Paul, it was the controlling principle of life. And it was how he expressed his faith through love, you know, as Christ did towards us. So the essence of Christianity is not, should we say, legal binding or legalism, as they would call it. It's not law or government decision, but it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is characterized by our faith and our love towards him and others. We see this time to time, and again in the writings of Paul. Ephesians 1-5 says, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, and Ephesians 3-7 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 1-4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Also, Thessalonians 1, verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. 1 Corinthians 13:2 says, And though I have a gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and knowledge, through all I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. You know, faith is everything. Faith is what we need today, isn't it, to keep us going. When you think of love, what does come into your mind? It's not that, I can remember Al saying this, it's not that mamby-pamby love that people have for each other. It's a true love. It's a real love. So what are the the characteristics of love? Well, these are found all in 1 Corinthians 13. And these are the characteristics that release the faith in our lives so that we are able to receive what God has for us today. You know, some of the things that are mentioned, you know, and this list is, I haven't exhausted it fully, but long-suffering, kindness, lack of envy is not easily provoked, self-sacrifice, humility, self-abasement, kindness, good behaviour, unselfishness, hope, believes all things, patience, rejoicing, forgiveness, endurance. You know, what a list. What a list. How could we keep up with something like that? How could we keep up with that? You know, and these are the qualities that faith must pass through if it is to be released effectively in our lives. You know, if we kept all of that list, we must be something special. Because I know through my life I haven't. You know, but let's look at one of the examples in the Bible. And this can be seen in the example of Jesus feeding the 5,000, and it's from John 14, 1 to 21. And it says, Jesus performed many miracles while he ministered in the fullness of Christ on earth. You know, and this was just one of those miracles that we read, and it's one of those that's easily to understand where he come from, wasn't it? And he always exhibited a perfect faith that was motivated by a genuine love for the people. And it was the people that he had been ministering to for those years. You know, in the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000, we see how perfectly love was the motivation behind the miracle. It wasn't anything else. It was love that Jesus went there for him. You know, this was a great victory for Jesus and for the people at that time. In fact, they were ready to make him king, it said, following this miracle. And we know today that did not last very long. So what was the background towards this? Well, the pressure of the circumstances. He had just been told that John the Baptist had been murdered, you know, and he was probably even thinking about his own death as he went along. It said it forced him to retire privately for rest, not only for himself, but for his disciples. Matthew 14, verses 13 to 14, it said, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed the sick. You know, even though he was tired, even though he was weary, something built up in him. And he just went out there and done what he did best. He loved his people. Though he was denied the rest he needed and he sought, he was moved with compassion. And he embraced the opportunity of teaching the multitude and healing the sick as well. You know, his faith here was being shown through love. He was showing these people just what he had for them. The heart of Jesus was always ready to melt over the many needs of men. 5,000 men and also women and children. You know, we can't comprehend that, can we? So it was a case of sympathy prevailing over the quest of solitude. You know, he had a job to do, even though he was tired, even though he wanted to be by himself. You know, he was compassionate for the people. Even though others showed very little consideration towards him, he was ready to show full consideration to them. This is faith working through love, the love of our Lord to each and every one of us. So we see kindness, self-sacrificing, humility, unselfishness, a lack of provocation and long-suffering. All marks of love exhibited by Jesus as his faith was released for another great miracle. So what are the practical expressions of faith and love in our lives? And how does this apply to us in a practical way today? From day to day. Are you praying in the faith for your marriage, for your children, for work, for family? You know, and if we keep on praying for guidance and forgiveness, this will release our faith towards whatever situation we find ourselves. We have family members going through a sticky patch. We have to pray for them that God will intervene. You know, our Georgina had a sticky patch this week. She's been taking some of our exams, and the first one she took early on in the week, she was so down after she had taken it because she thought she had not done enough. She didn't think she had passed, and she was really down. She was really down. She texted us, she rang us, and Claire went to see her and things like that. And when you're like that, where do you turn to? Where do you turn to? You know, the only place that we can turn to is God. And he shows his love. But hey ho, Georgina got a pass in our exam, and she done well in her second one as well, she feels. So praise God. Prayer does work, because he loves each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of us. And you know, if you're still working, what about the grumpy boss? Are you praying for him to get saved as well? Do you respond in love when you feel you're being taken advantage of by people? You know, are you praying in faith for financial provision? But I have to ask a question here. What is our motivation when we do that? Is it for our own gain? Or is it for us to better meet our family's needs? To help along with the church, to help someone who is struggling. What about gifting towards God as well? What's our motive there? Is it a case that we want to build the church up, build others up, or is it self-satisfy, should we say? What about when the phone rings at an inconvenient time? And I don't mean when Emmerdale's on or when Coronation Street's on. At an inconvenient time, do you get annoyed? I used to, you know. And when I was working on the yards, it was nothing for me to get a phone call 10 o'clock at night and say one of the machines has run out of diesel. Yeah, what do you want me to do? You know. And you know, but now take it with ease. We have to respond in love. We have to show people we are better than what some are. Even though others may be inconsiderate, you can respond in love, it tells us, by being considerate to them. You know, we might walk outside of here and we could get abused. Turn the other cheek, the Lord says. Turn the other cheek. But what we have to do is take time to listen. We have to listen. We have to listen to people. We have to hear them out. Even when we're not feeling like it sometimes, you never know the problem that they may have. It could be a problem that we've went through in life that we could help them through. Tell them how we managed to get along. It may be that our gifting will come out as you take the time to respond in love to them. You know, it's so lovely to just talk to somebody when you're struggling. We have to also remember, faith and love are inseparable. Practicing love from day to day in all of these areas that I spoke about keeps you in a place where your faith is being released in a positive way towards others. We have to think of others. We cannot just think of self all the time. Romans 1 verse 17 says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And as I said before, remember, faith and love go hand in hand. They are inseparable. Amen.